Chapter 10. I Shall Not Bow. I was standing along a short wall that stood to about the height of my waistline, and I was alongside a cliff that was perched high on a mountain. As I gazed off into the far distance over the cliff that I stood before, I began to see all different types of large predator birds fly in and land on the top of the wall just before me. These birds were not there to harm me, and I wasn't afraid of them. Rather, they were waiting for their leader to arrive. The wall filled with many wicked birds as they flew in and landed one at a time. I stood there and watched them from the distance that I kept. Finally, after all the minions had taken their positions upon this wall, a huge half-bird, half-man flew in above the perched flock and landed in front of them. He looked like a gargoyle and was very evil. He was definitely in charge, and the others were there to simply bow and worship this wicked thing. What I saw was Satan and his demons as they all took a bow before him, in worship, with obedience and fear. They had no power to come near me, as I just stood there and watched their ritual with disgust. The leader of the flock then looked over at me with this evil smirk and gave my oldest son 3 red roses with abnormally small flowers on their ends. I quickly ran over and snatched the 3 roses from my son's hand and threw them back at the leader, as I shouted with all my might that we serve and bow to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ only. I grabbed my son by his hand and fled from them. We ran off and away from their presence as we took refuge in a house. They never tried to chase or follow us. The Message. It's okay to question God. If you're going to intelligently interrogate His existence, then be even wiser to search for Him with an open heart. Unfortunately, I didn't truly accept Him blindly at first. I sought Him and looked for scientific proof before I believed with all my heart. God looks for blind faith like that of a child. They who believe will be blessed beyond measure. The Lord exists in everything that we see in nature and in humanity, as His fingerprints are in it. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John chapter 20, verse 29, Doubting Thomas. Our spirit is programmed to seek God. From the very beginning of our existence, people from all cultural backgrounds have looked for something higher than themselves. This is no coincidence, but is a programmed default within our spirit. Even atheists come to their non-belief in God after seeking Him and not finding Him. The real question lies with how to find Him. Once we think we've found God, we must make sure we're not bowing before an imposter. Out of all the figures of religion to claim to have the light, Jesus Christ is the only one to claim, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John chapter 14, verse 6. Out of all the spiritual figures to ever exist, to walk this planet, Jesus Christ is the only one to rise from the dead. The rest have decayed in their graves just like any other human. In my case, the closer I drew to God, the more my lifestyle changed to the opposite of what it used to be. I stopped doing all the little sins and took a godlier road with everyone and everything. The enemy didn't like the territory he was losing to me, and the attacks began. God used these assaults and turned them into trials to reveal Himself and erase any doubt about His existence from my inner core. The trials became a testimony that reprogrammed me, if you will, and a new software had to be downloaded within my soul. My battle may be different from many of you, however, we share a common enemy, the devil. God is love. What is love, you ask? Love is an intense feeling of deep affection. What is intense, you ask? It is extreme force, degree, or strength. What is force, you ask? It is strength or energy as an attribute of physical action or movement. What are feelings, you ask? They are an emotional state or reaction thereof. What are reactions, you ask? They are an action performed by a sensation that's experienced by a feeling or an emotion. What is deep affection, you ask? It's a mental state or an emotion that one is in or experiences. These actions, which cause a reaction within a state of emotion and give you these experiences, require energy. Energy that moves is a force with a frequency that can be measured. What is energy, you ask? According to Britannica, it is the strength and vitality required for sustained physical or mental activity. It's also the process of transfer from one body to another. After it has been transferred, energy is always designated according to its nature. All forms of energy are associated with motion. How is this relevant, you ask? Well, according to Rudolf Julius Emanuel Clausius, a German physicist and mathematician who is considered one of the central founders of thermodynamics, the first law of thermodynamics states that energy is always conserved. It cannot be created or destroyed. Energy can be converted from one form into another. God is the energy of love, which was never created and cannot be destroyed, and will always be as He always has. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. This love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. My life has been filled with miracles and answered prayers. Perhaps the most important prayer God has answered for me was the one when I asked Him to show me His face. Although I didn't see Him as I expected, He revealed Himself in everything that exists to me. He taught me how to be a better son, father, husband, and brother, a better man. He showed me what blind faith can do for me. He taught me how to fight the battle that matters. He displayed loyalty to me before I gave Him mine. He took me as I am and gave me mercy and grace. He loved me first. When God taught me how to fight the good fight of faith, He equipped me with the complete armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. The belt of truth. He gave the truth about the enemy, about life, about Him, and anything that contradicts that truth is false. He confirmed his messages to me as truth. I didn't allow fear to give me a full sense of reality based on my feelings. The breastplate of righteousness. He loved me enough to give me Jesus, and my righteousness is of His righteousness. This is how I'm justified and not condemned by the enemy. The gospel of peace. He gave me oneness with Him, which gave me peace in the midst of the storm within my soul, a bond that cannot be broken. The shield of faith. He took me through a 7-year journey that renewed and strengthened my faith. It was a journey that answered all my questions and gave me strength while removing all my fear. He gave me wisdom to discern truth from falsehood, which shields me from the attacks and lies of the enemy and the world. The helmet of salvation. I trust in Jesus' death and resurrection as the payment for my sin, as my salvation came from a lengthy process of sanctification. I know He was the perfect sacrificial lamb to wash my sins before a just God. Sword of the Spirit. He gave me His word to fight with as I trusted and anchored myself on it. As I recited His instructions and promises of all my battles, these same words fought off the enemy with its truth. For roughly a year and a half before I wrote this book, I kept having the same dreams over and over. I dreamt of looking into a mirror, having photos taken of me, or of someone following me from the shadows with a camera, like a paparazzi on my every move. I really never understood what the message meant and kept asking God to give me a clearer vision of what He was trying to tell me. Then, one night at around 2 a.m., as I was slipping into deep sleep for the night, just before I let go of my wakened state, what felt like a lightning bolt struck my body. I jumped out of bed instantly, gasping for air, knowing I had to write this book for Him. I shook my wife awake. She asked me what was wrong as she struggled to give me the attention I required from her. I shouted, "Now, I have to write the book!" I stayed up for an hour after that realization, just staring at my ceiling. Now those repetitive dreams during the past year made sense. God wanted me to start reflecting on my journey through the past. I began to think of how to begin this message that night. I had attempted to write this book 6 years earlier, but came to a screeching halt after a couple of chapters. But God was holding me to my promise to Him. Once I understood His curriculum, after graduating from the Academy, I wrote this book. I now had the full message to share with you. I hope that this book blesses you as it answers some of your questions through my story. I promise you that, if you trust God with all your heart and all your might, a kind of trust that's without borders, and if you believe with childlike faith and seek Him and learn His instructions, you will be blessed beyond your imagination. He will never leave your side or break a promise, even when it looks like you're alone. What I learned is that the moments when I felt abandoned were the moments He was closest to me. As for my family and I, we will always serve the Lord Jesus. This book is meant to strengthen the faith of the believer and answer questions for those who have doubt. Pass this along, as it could help the person you least expect. Many people live in secret or publicly with countless questions about God. My testimony could be exactly what they need to hear or read for encouragement. This book surely describes the events that unfolded in my life. However, the story is not of me, but of God. The End. Reflections. I asked my eldest son, who was healed by Jesus Christ, to draw me a picture of a lion for this book. A few days later, he came up with this drawing. To view the image, please visit www.thewarriorwithinmebook.com. I initially wanted to put it on the cover, but the more I looked at the sketch, the more I saw my own reflection in it, for many reasons. I then decided to have the Lion of Judah replace this sketch on the front cover. It is Jesus Christ who is the warrior within me, and placing Him on the cover is a much more accurate depiction of the warrior. My son's drawing, which depicts a battle-wounded lion, whose scars have healed but are not gone, and whose eyes are fixed at the heavens above looking to God for help, would be a representation of my appearance from within my soul. An image that no one can physically see of me unless they look at me with their spiritual eyes. We are all battle-wounded warriors, but the difference is, who is the warrior within you? A prayer for the reader. I pray that your lives are filled with absolute trust in God, with peace, with joy, and with good health for you and your loved ones. I pray that fear never enters your hearts and consumes you. I pray that God guides your path with His truth and goes before you to make the crooked way straight. I pray that my story touches you and brings you closer to God, for we live in very uncertain and deceptive times. I pray that the mercy and grace of God is upon you and your loved ones. I pray that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, I seal this prayer over you and your loved ones. Amen.